call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Service District, Wednesday, November 14th, 2012, at 6:30 p.m. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy. Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
We do have a quorum this evening. Vice President Lucy is not present. Item number three, the flag salute.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, the agenda review. There was a request to pull item 10B, which is the request for proposal process for district engineer. We'll put that on the next agenda. The reason was is that Vice President Lucy was going to assist with doing the RFP, and I believe has done some research, but she's not here to present that. So is there anything else that anybody else would like to move or delete from the agenda?
Nothing for me.
Me either.
Angela?
Nope, everything.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda then as presented with the change?
I so move.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion's approved, 4-0. Moving on to item number five, public comment. General Manager Gieselin, is there any slips for public comment?
No, there's no slips, but, oh, I'm sorry, Tom Martin.
Tom, why don't you go ahead and come on up?
He snuck in.
Tom Martin. I'm wearing my Cold Canyon landfill hat tonight. I'm here to ask for your help. The landfill's EIR expansion was approved by the Planning Commission, and believe it or not, we are appealing the approval of our own project. Some of the conditions that the Planning Department put on the project have some dire consequences in terms of financial impact on the ratepayers. And there are mitigations that are required because of the CEQA Act and air quality and the Regional Water Board. But there are many of them that are discretionary. And as you can see, $1.79 per ton is discretionary, and that's going to increase the rates $1.79 per ton for the next 8 years, each year. And I would encourage you to talk to the Board of Supervisors, anybody you know on there, make a phone call, and ask them to please exercise whatever discretionary powers they have to hold those costs down as much as possible, because whatever decision the Board of Supervisors makes at the hearing on Tuesday, I will be back in front of you in next June or July asking for the rates to pay for the consequences of their action. And as you can see from the little scenario I put together, if the board will exercise their discretionary powers, we can chop about 6% off the increases necessary over the next 8 years. And there's enough pressure on rates as it is, as you all well know, and we'd like to just see it be lower. So any help you can give us with the Board of Supervisors, we'd love to have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And how would we do that, Tom? Would we asking for a letter, phone calls? What do you
just call Paul or any of the Board of Supervisors that you have dealing with and just ask them to please exercise all their discretionary power that they have and to try and keep the rates as low as possible, because it's not like we're a developer where we're going to go out and build something and raise the price of the house. Everybody who uses the landfill from San Simeon to Napomo is going to bear the costs that they decide on.
And the hearing is next Tuesday?
It's next Tuesday.
Okay.
So before next Tuesday, give Paul a call and rattle his cage a little bit for me.
Well, that's always fun. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you.
Mr. Edwards?
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I truly believe that your board has aspirations for revitalization, economic development, job creation, and so forth in Oceano. I also believe that the people of Oceano share those aspirations. But there is an impediment. And unfortunately, that impediment is your CEO or general manager. Mr. Gieselin represents the status quo. And nothing will change here with the status quo. Moreover, There's been a pattern of stripping and dumping in Oceano, and that'll continue, and I'll explain. For literally decades, Oceano has seen the county of San Luis Obispo, cities of Pismo, Grover, AG, the state of California, sustain a pattern of stripping assets that this community has and dumping liabilities, literally decades. The proposed homeless facility is just the latest example. And I think this is another example also of the failing on the part of your GM to be truthful with your board and the community about what's really going on, and specifically about this homeless proposal. This isn't the first time your GM has not been truthful with you. You may recall the NCMA letter, the seawater intrusion letter, that he signed without your knowing and didn't even report it to you. There's the hacking incident. The pornography affair, which, by the way, it's my belief that your GM knew full well about all of the pornographic situation, the history, all of it, when the hacking occurred and when those computers were cleaned. You have the Langstaff matter that emanated from that. Has he been candid with you about the circumstances surrounding that wrongful termination? I don't think so. And then lastly, this homeless situation. Your GM publishes a Friday report from time to time, and in the November 2nd Friday report, he always includes a little quote you may know. This quote is, "As I grow older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do." Andrew Carnegie, "I would watch what this gentleman does." And the bottom line is, until you change your general manager, the status quo will continue in Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 6, special presentations or commendations. Farmers Market Committee, item 6AA, resolution number 2012-15, resolution of the Oceano Community Services District establishing the Oceano Farmers Market Committee, a standing committee of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors. Tom?
I'd actually like to turn this over to Director Hurdle, because
okay,
this is her baby. But just to give everybody a quick update, this committee formed itself and came forward and requested to take action. And Director Hurdle grabbed them like a mother hen grabs her chicks and says, "We're going to go do this." So it's an extremely proud moment for Oceano, and I wouldn't want to take that away from Director Hurdle.
Well, thank you. I'd like to introduce our committee, and we have, as I've been telling people for quite a while, some outstanding people, and I'm very proud, and I just know already how wonderful this is going to be. And I'd like to introduce Mary Lewis, our chairman, and if you'd come to the mic and say a little bit, Mary, about yourself and your what you see, your vision for...
Hello. Hi. I can honestly say I've never been introduced in those terms, but I'm very pleased to be here, very excited. Looking forward to the many possibilities that I see Oceano having, and the first of it being a baby step, I'd say, for a farmer's market, something that many people in the community want very badly and something that would be very beneficial for us. So we're very excited to be a part of this and look forward to continuing with it.
Thank you so much. And our vice chair is Rio. Rio, I'm sorry, I don't know your last
Cordes.
Name.
Yeah, my name is Rio Cordes. And so, you know, this is going to be the first step of many in the revitalization progress. So we're looking forward to making a lot of positive changes for Oceano. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Rio.
Thank you.
And Jackie, would you like to say something, Jackie?
No.
Hi,
Hi, I am Jackie West. I am pretty new to the community, but I'm learning a lot, and I'm really looking forward to our efforts at getting people to come together for such a great cause that Oceano is.
Thank you, Jackie. Currently, we have about a dozen people making up the committee, but we're always looking for more, and we do have a meeting tomorrow night. At what time?
5:30
here, and I think the plans are that we would like to start in May and have maybe four events, which would be 2 months, but we're going to put everything that we have into those 2 months, and I'm sure we're going to get a great return. Thank you so much.
Thank you to each of you.
So,
do you have anything you want to add?
No.
Okay.
No,
so we've received this resolution. I've reviewed it, and Chase has reviewed it. Does anybody have anybody from the board have any questions or comments for Director Hurdle?
I think I've read it and reviewed it, and it seems solid to me.
Then I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion for resolution number 2012-15 for the Oceano Community Services District establishing the Oceano Farmers Market Committee, a standing committee of the Oceano Community Services.
I'll second that.
All right. Let's have a roll call vote, Carolyn.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy? Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. So thank you and congratulations. Thank you for your hard work.
Yay.
Looking forward to it myself.
Yeah.
Moving on to item number 6B, San Luis Obispo County Public Works, Dean Benedict's Habitat Conservation Plan presentation. I see you brought Pavo as well. So.
Yes. Hi, I am Dean Benedix, the Utilities Division Manager of Public Works County. And Mark Hutchinson is going to give you a presentation on the Zone 3 HCP. And Pavo Ogren is kind enough to assist us tonight. And he's ready and able to give a very brief or very long presentation on the flood control elements, drainage solutions that we have done. That we presented to the board on Tuesday. So if you'd like to do that, maybe you can consider that while Mark's giving his, and then Pablo will take it from there.
I do have a question about the flooding. We do focus a lot on Meadow Creek and 13th Street, but we flood on 4th Street in the rain. We flood right beneath that bridge, and I bet you it's maybe a quarter of a mile of high water, the concrete is gone. I mean, the street is gone. Potholes, you know, that take your whole tire in. And I'm wondering why that's not included when we look at the flooding that takes place here in Oceano.
Well, a master drainage and flood control study was done about 7 or 8 years ago that identified a number of large flooding areas and large projects to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm.
We are kind of going, obviously, with the major flooding from potential from Rio Grande Creek and the flooding that we saw the last few years and the continued flooding in Highway 1 and 13th Street. Those are elements that we have been able to get some funding for to advance, and so we are advancing those projects. There are a multitude of other drainage problems we are aware of, but we haven't been able to get to those yet, don't have funding for those. So we know about them, but we're kind of going down a priority order to assess those.
Okay. Is that pending priority? Because it's difficult to get through there.
I'll tell you, we have a list of about $60 to $80 million of drainage improvements needed in the six communities that we studied about 5 or 6 years ago. So there are a lot of needs, and we're trying to address the highest priority ones first and the ones that we have available funding for.
Thank you.
So I'll turn it over to Mark.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mark Hutchinson. I am the Environmental Division Manager for the San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works, and I have for you tonight an update on the Rio Grande Creek Habitat Conservation Plan. We want to talk a little bit about what an HCP is, why we're preparing one, and what the implications are for Oceano and the Zone 3 or the Lopez Project communities of the HCP. By way of background, we need to look first at the Federal Endangered Species Act, which was enacted in 1973, and it applies to something called listed species. It requires all federal agencies to use their existing authority to protect listed species and their habitats. Under the Endangered Species Act, especially for animals, habitat has the same protection as the animal itself. Prohibitions against take, which means harming the species in any way, apply to the habitat as well as to the individual animals. The act is administered on the ground by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, which is within the Department of Interior, and the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is in the Department of Commerce. It's interesting that the Marine Fisheries Service focuses, as you would expect, on marine species, marine mammals, but one species that we have in the creek that we'll talk about, the steelhead, because it lives in both fresh and salt water, is assigned to the National Marine Fisheries Service. So we must consult with and work with both federal agencies. Buried deep in the Endangered Species Act regulations is this statement. On a long, long list of prohibited activities, or those things that you require a permit from the federal agencies, is removing water or otherwise altering stream flow when it significantly impairs spawning, migration, feeding, or other essential behavior patterns. And that is the regulation that has essentially triggered the need for a habitat conservation plan in Arroyo Grande Creek. Because of Lopez Dam, we do divert water from the creek for municipal purposes, and we also regulate downstream flows. Now, take is prohibited under the Act, and I didn't put the full definition of take, but it means harm, harass, kill, and all of those things that we would expect. You can, however, commit take if you have a permit, something called an incidental take permit. Incidental means that you cannot get a permit to take the species itself for the sake of take. But if you're doing something else that might, on the side, also result in take, that's incidental to your prime activity, and you can get a permit for that. In order to get that permit, you have to do something called a conservation plan or mitigation plan, and in the Act, that's termed Habitat Conservation Plan, or HCP. It seems straightforward. The HCP has to analyze the impact. We're used to that in EIRs and those sorts of things. Provide mitigation measures, look at alternatives, make sure you have funding to implement it, and other agencies or other measures the agency may require, which is, of course, the catch-all. For the agency to give us that permit, after we've submitted and they've approved our habitat conservation plan, they must make certain findings that the take is actually incidental, as I said, that we have the money, that the impacts are minimized and mitigated. The last one, the taking will not appreciably reduce the likelihood of the survival and recovery of the species in the wild. Over the years, through regulation and litigation at the federal level, it's been recognized that certain species, steelhead in particular, are endemic to specific streams. So we might think that taking a few fish in Arroyo Grande Creek, given that there are literally thousands of steelhead out there, would not be a significant impact. We might think that providing water to these communities is more important than the fish. But when we get down into the details of the Endangered Species Act, the fish in this creek, because they are endemic to Arroyo Grande Creek, are treated as if they are the only steelhead that exists on Earth, this distinct population in Arroyo Grande Creek. It brings the entire focus of the federal law down to our single situation. We are engaged in something called the Endangered Species Act Section 10 process. And I'm not going to go through this flowchart with you, but I will tell you that tomorrow night at the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, we will be delving into this flowchart in great detail in about a 45-minute presentation as part of an ongoing series of presentations on the HCP. So if you're interested in what all those boxes mean, feel free to attend tomorrow night. I believe we're at the Rio Grande City Council Chambers. I can tell you that the HCP for many years has been in this process, and we're moving rapidly to this process. Well, let's talk a little bit about the scope and content of the Habitat Conservation Plan that's been prepared. I should note that on your agenda there is an internet link to slocountywater.org. If you go there and push on the HCP buttons, the draft HCP that was prepared and submitted to the agencies in 2004 is posted there, and you can actually read through the document as it currently stands. Again, we're doing the HCP because of three listed species, the steelhead trout, California red-legged frog, and tidewater goby, although at this point, the 2004 draft does not include the goby. One of the tasks for my team and for the Zone 3 Advisory Committee and ultimately the Board of Supervisors is to determine whether or not we need to include the third species on our list of animals. And it's going to back into our downstream release program. So there's a little bit of work to do to figure out the pros and cons of whether we should expand the HCP beyond what it currently covers. And, of course, grandfather. There is no provision for it. It was litigated through 73, 74, and 75 at the federal level and settled at the U.S. Supreme Court. So even though our dam was built before the Act was passed, we are subject to all of those provisions. Tidewater goby was listed in 1994, the red-legged frog in 1996, and the steelhead in 1997. Coincidentally, the Public Works Department created the precursor to their environmental division in late 1999. And when I do that presentation, you can see the timeline and the connection there. In 1998, the district submitted a revised water rights permit application to clear up some ambiguity in the dam's water rights permit. Again, that's a different presentation and all the details. It was put on hold pending the completion of the HCP. The initial draft was submitted to the agencies in 2004. In late 2005, the district received comments from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service requesting substantial changes. The National Marine Fisheries Service requested a substantial amount of study and revision on the downstream release program, and that's been going on all the way through 2011. The HCP basically has two parts. A water release program, and I like to say that's when we turn the valve on and when we turn it off and how much we turn it on and how much we turn it off at the dam, and then a habitat enhancement component. The concept is pretty straightforward. We would attempt to match natural flow patterns and improve habitat downstream of the dam in order to maximize the population resilience, and then in prolonged drought periods when the water is diverted mostly for municipal use, we would be allowed to take steelhead, which also, by the way, mimics a natural pattern of the drying up of the stream. The flow model itself, the downstream release component, is based on two fundamental elements. We maintain a safe and reliable water supply. That is, over the long term, the modeling has to show that there is no reduction in deliveries to municipal customers below what the current contracts require, and that there is a year-round minimum in-stream flow in normal and wet years. In dry years, the creek would dry naturally, and so it is with the release program that's currently proposed. Under an habitat enhancement, it's pretty much the standard laundry list of things that you would do for steelhead and frogs. Remove or improve passage barriers. That has a double benefit. If we can modify a barrier in such a way that fish can move more easily, it benefits the population. It also requires less in-stream flow for them to make that movement so that we can save water for other uses. We would stabilize stream banks, enhance it with vegetation, undertake water quality improvements primarily through the placement of gravels and implementation of our urban stormwater programs that we're all familiar with. And then any other habitat enhancements that, through an adaptive management program, became obvious needs for the project. Quick touch on results. This is a little bit of an older graph, but it illustrates the way the extensive modeling that's been done on the project is presented. This just shows the water levels in the reservoir from when it first opened just after 1970, filled in 1969, up until 2000. The model has since been expanded up to where we are now. The blue line shows actual water elevations in Lopez Lake. So you can see maximum storage, 50,000 acre feet, up to the level of the spillway. Down here at the bottom is something called minimum pool. That's where you can't get water out anymore. Over the years, the blue line, again, that's what the levels were. Had the HCP been in effect all those years, the level would have been the pink line. And as you can see, the modeling and the downstream release program were designed to bring it right down to that level, but no lower, in the most severe drought that has been experienced since the dam was built. The impacts on water supply are pretty straightforward. We end up with an increase in downstream release overall above what we're doing now. And we end up with lowering of reservoir storage, or as you could see, a more dynamic reservoir level. It goes up and down more severely than it has in the past. At the same time, which could be, I guess, portrayed as a benefit, there's a reduction in reservoir spills. When we let water out in the summer, obviously it makes more room in the reservoir for the winter. And when in those wet years when the dam would fill and spill, it will spill less because we've created more room. So it makes essentially a more efficient use of the reservoir to capture and use water that would otherwise spill over the dam in the winter and flow out to the ocean. We expect that with the conservation plan implemented, we'll be able to continue to operate for the benefit of water customers. And I always include this slide to show that there can be unanticipated issues and problems, and this has been no different. We made great progress up until 2004 and then ran into some new perspectives from the agencies and had to back up and do quite a bit of hydraulic modeling and programming and whatnot. We're currently involved in something called a water availability analysis, which is a requirement of the state board that wanted to look more closely at downstream water rights. At the same time, the Zone 3 Advisory Committee and their Technical Advisory Committee, along with district staff or county staff, have been concerned about the release program as it currently stands and whether or not it provides enough water for farming interests downstream of the dam. So we're going back to the consultants that did the hydraulic modeling and hydrologic model to make sure that we are providing enough water for those who are dependent on it, not only for water in their homes, but also for their livelihood. And I believe I put my contact information up there, so if anyone watching wants to get an update on where we are, again, we are giving regular presentations at the advisory committee meetings bi-monthly, and the next one is tomorrow night. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them.
I have one. When was the last time that the dam spilled over the spillway?
Let me see if Dean knows.
The dam has only spilled about 8 or 10 times, and it was previous to the seismic upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of figured that because I can remember when it filled and a lot of water. But I remember it spilling one time for sure, but
yeah, we
been a
don't
long time. I thought maybe there's something else I had missed along the way.
I think if I'd brought the folder, we could get the exact date.
That's okay.
That's
I just was curious if there was something in the last few years or anything.
Feel free to send me an email and I'll
okay.
ask the guys. We'll get the they can provide the actual date.
Okay, thank you.
No question.
Director Hurdle?
No, thank you.
I just have a thought, and I'm thinking out loud here, so I'm sorry if it's inarticulate, but I'm wondering if the HCP and the flood relief efforts for the local counties are at odds with each other at some level where you're protecting habitat for red-legged frogs and fish, so you're not stripping out creeks so that the water flows, and yet we're trying to alleviate flooding, and I'm wondering if they're at odds with each other.
That... What's the short answer? Yes.
Because okay. We started talking out about flooding, and then it turned into habitat creation. I was thinking, well, geez, we had a presentation earlier where we can't take a tractor to the creek, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a challenge, and that's what we're engaged in. And some of the details of that are represented by the previous slide, exactly how we do that.
When you implement these things, is there... are you implementing, or is it by the letter of the law, or is there room for operating within the spirit of the law, which would say, okay, we have these problems with flooding, but we can, that's what you were just saying, it's the mitigating then?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so we have these this problem with flooding, we can go in here, even though these are, it's a habitat, and take care of what we need, as long as we don't wipe out all the animals that are there. So we can operate within the spirit of the law to get some of this stuff done.
Yes, certainly. And that's really the purpose of the HCP, is to explore all of these ramifications of water supply and farm mm-hmm. water supply and, mm-hmm. and potentially flooding and what that means to how an HCP is implemented. It is a little bit different measure than most of us are used to. I think in California, we're all familiar with California Environmental Quality Act and EIRs and different mm-hmm. boards and commissions of how you do balancing. It's a bit more complex in the Endangered Species Act and a bit more weighted towards the side of the species.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these elements come into play when we negotiate the final incidental take permit and implementing agreements.
Is there room for the decision makers to make discretionary decisions based on individual circumstances? Like, for instance, we have flooding, we need something done, and this is...
it's difficult for me to say because of the decision makers, the final decision makers, are agencies of the federal government. And so we'll certainly be at the Board of Supervisors to approve whatever the final submittal is, and back at the board to approve and discuss what the final permit might require before it's accepted and signed and implemented. So certainly at the local level, I'm fairly certain that if it has elements that don't address things that are important to the community, significant things, mm-hmm. water supply and flooding, mm-hmm. Then it's just not going to be able to go forward.
And following up on our Mark's discussion, is that we're going through this habitat conservation plan effort for the releases from Lopez Dam. And the HCP is Section 10, I think it's a... And versus on the flood control efforts and the work that we're planning on doing within the channel itself, Arroyo Grande Creek and the Zone 1 and 1A efforts, those don't follow the HCP permitting process and that big, complicated... flow chart that Mark had up there. It's a separate project, and so it follows a separate permitting process, and that's actually Section 7, which is, in a way, it's easier to get through. We qualify for Section 7 because we have a federal nexus. We have to get permits from the Army Corps of Engineers, as an example. If we had federal funding on something, that would also be a nexus. But the point there is it's more along the lines of what we normally expect. We want to go get a permit, and then what are the implications of getting that permit? And in this case, are there going to be incidental take issues in order to be able to do that? So whereas the HCPs can often take a very, very long time, and we're well over a decade into going into the HCP, and it's addressing the issue specifically of our releases from Lopez Dam, versus in the flooding issues, it's the issue associated with how do we clear out the channels, how do we do sandbar management, do we want to do something different in Metal Lagoon than what's been historically occurring, or at least since the 1950s. And so that Section 7 process is a bit more efficient. You don't get it done overnight. We're hoping that we have our federal review done in about summertime. That's, I think, our best case scenario for the actual flood control work. So it's well within expectations that our federal permitting and our endangered species issues are addressed on the flood control work far before we're going to ever be done with the HCP on the actual releases of Lopez Dam. So it's two different processes, and even though we want to look at similar issues, the flooding should go quicker. Just real briefly, I'm not sure how much we've actually gotten a lot of grant money for the flood control work. We got Prop 84, Prop 50 money, and it looks promising to get some federal hazardous mitigation grant program funding as well. So we're definitely feeling cautiously optimistic about getting all the money together to be able to implement the waterway management program. And we've got a lot of different features. Obviously, we were able to do some work last year, raising the levees somewhat, worked on additional berms over on the eastern side of Oceano, what we call the RAP property. And we were recently had the permits so that we could get in there and do some of the reed management within Meadow Creek Lagoon, at least so that any storm waters that do occur, that the water can freely flow to the flap gates as best as possible. State Parks was proposing to do some reed management over by their facilities between the lagoons and Grand Avenue, and we're concerned about that, so we sent a comment letter in on their draft mitigated negative deck, because one of the things that they identified is their work would help with the quicker transmission of water into the lagoon area, and we're like, well, wait a second, we're not sure if we want water getting there faster. You know, having that natural barrier in there can actually help, potentially help mitigate some of the flooding risks that are here in Oceano. So we've sent in that comment letter and updated the board on Tuesday. But again, there's a lot of different things going on, so I guess maybe considering the hour and everything else, I'd be in a better position to ask any questions and be more than glad to come back and run through a detailed presentation.
I think Director Hurdle said maybe in January or something, or February, we could have you come back and talk about the flooding issues, and we'll know what's happening through this raining season. We got all geared up last year. And
it wasn't a lot
of money was spent.
And obviously, we're coordinating with your general manager in terms of our emergency response plans. We're going to be having our table talk exercise in early December again.
Great.
Again, be more than glad to come back and get into some of those details of those work efforts.
Reminds me of what Bill Clinton said. He says, when you're dealing with issues, sometimes that you see through a dark glass clearly.
I have a question. Are any of these measures designed to do any work from 22nd Street down to the ocean? Or is it all kind of above 22nd Street?
Well, a lot of the vegetation management is certainly above 22nd Street. The levee raise work is definitely along that, even on the northern levee down below 22nd Street, because, you know, one of our, that northern levee is sure to call and point out the beaver dams that are down in that area.
Oh, yeah, so I saw them too the other day.
Have you seen it?
I saw some pictures, it seems pretty impressive.
You can walk two abreast on it, clear across the...
I know. So we're going to, we've done a lot of our vegetation. We've done a lot of the ditch cleaning and culvert cleaning and everything. But basically, those, little critters can rebuild those dams pretty quickly. So those are one of the last things that we look at before the storms in order to take whatever preparatory efforts, in terms of, you don't really take them down. We've broken portions of them to get the water to free flow and everything. And
too bad they don't eat tules.
Pardon me?
I said it's too bad they don't eat the tules instead of trees.
There. We can't, if we could train them, they'd be perfect.
Well, perhaps we can have Mr. Gieslin contact you after the first and figure out a good time for you to come in.
Director?
Yeah. It's my understanding they're going to open or do some work on Carpenter Creek. And maybe get that to go to the ocean?
Yeah, that's right. So part of the negative deck that State Parks put together included a variety of work, and the work that they're proposing in Carpenter Creek area we very much like. It's to reduce both natural and man-made impediments to the free flow of water to the ocean, and some of the stuff around the Pismo ponds that they're talking about too. So that work effort we definitely like. Our concern is more of between Grand Avenue and the lagoon area where it's thick in vegetation. One of the things we wanted to do last year, but we never got a chance because we never had a storm that was big enough to do it, is to actually get on the bridge at Grand Avenue, because the big culvert from Grover or Grande or whomever discharges into the creek there. And look at see which way the water actually flows. Does in a big event it come south toward the lagoon, or is that impediment significant enough to cause the water to back up and go north out to Carpenter Creek? Ideally, we like to see it going north. And historically, they all connected. The Rio Grande Creek, Pismo Creek, Carpenter Creek, you know, back in the day, they would be connected, and they'd sometimes just have one single outlet. So it's not, you know, in historical terms, sure, the water turned and went north, too. And so, yeah. Again, we generally believe a natural barrier in that area is a good thing to keep. We like the stuff that State Parks is proposing at Carpenter Creek, and so our focus and our concerns was pretty limited.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Moving on to the consent agenda, item number 7, and I'll state for you guys. I'm thinking about after item 8C, which is, so we'll have the sheriff's report and the Five Cities Authority report. Taking a break after that time, after 8C.
Okay.
Item number 7, the consent agenda, review and approval of minutes, October 16th and October 24th, and B, the cash disbursements. Does anybody have any questions?
I have none.
Director White?
No, I didn't see anything that caught my eye.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
Motion to approve.
I have a motion from Director Hurdle. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. That's item number 7. Moving on to item number 8. Is there anybody from the sheriff's? Are you going to be making a report tonight? Sheriff South Station, and you're not Commander Jim Taylor. Sorry, I forgot your name, sir.
I am not. Hi, I'm
Sergeant Tony Sperry.
Hi, Sergeant Tony Perry, Sheriff South Station. Commander Taylor could not be here this evening. He's currently with all of our command staff doing a strategic plan for the department, so I'm here in his stead. Nothing significant to report. We have had a couple items of interest here in the past couple weeks develop. As of a week ago, the Sheriff's Department completed its latest round of tobacco sting operations. In the middle of this year, the County Health Agency, in collaboration with the Sheriff's Office, created the Tobacco Compliance Program, which is an extension of the Health Department's tobacco control program. What that's comprised of is underage decoys utilized to engage in sting operations with all the tobacco retailers in the unincorporated areas of San Luis Obispo County. There's currently 58 tobacco retailers in the unincorporated area, and we do countywide compliance checks on those retailers 4 times per year. So in the most recent results, we had 6 retailers in the county sell to the decoy. This is actually down from 11 that we had back in the decoy operation that ended in July. So we had some improvement, but we still had a sales rate of about 11% this time. So we're working to try to bring that down even further, and hopefully as the program continues, we'll have up and rolled back into a number of suspects identified approximately 1 week later during the attempted sale of some of the stolen property in the Santa Maria area, and based on the hard work of local investigators putting information out to pawn shops and jewelry stores that would be the primary recipients of some of the stolen property. Tip came in that the suspect, or one of the suspects, was in one of the stores, and Santa Maria Police Department responded, detained a suspect, and then additional suspects were identified later that evening, and the case has come to a head. So we're looking at no less than 10 residential burglaries that have been solved behind this. We're attempting to connect the suspects to some others as well, and again, a great collaborative effort between Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and sheriff's investigators in putting a stop to this most recent burglary ring. So other than that, those are the major developments that have occurred out of the Oceano area, and that seems to be it. One other thing, back on the tobacco compliance program, there was one sale in the Oceano area. Unfortunately, Oceano Marketing Gas conducted the sale, and so as it relates to the Oceano area, that was the one sale that happened in your jurisdiction. So if you have any questions in regards to any other of the activities occurring in the sheriff's jurisdiction, I'll be more than happy to take those now.
Thank you, Sergeant Perry. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Moving on to item number 8B, Five Cities Fire Authority, Fire Chief Joel Arenas. Good evening.
Good evening, Board. Joel Arenas, Five Cities Fire Authority. Emergency activity taking place in the district within the last month. We show 42 incidents, two of which were fire calls. One was a vehicle fire with a loss of $16,000. Excuse me. That was out on the dunes itself. And then we had one rubbish fire outside of a structure. It was confined just to the rubbish, didn't get into the structure. So, of course, that was a $0 loss. There were 30 medical aids that were recorded for this month period within the district, two hazardous conditions, one service call, six good intents, and one false alarm. Other things that are going on within the authority, as I mentioned, there was a $16,000 loss to an off-road highway vehicle. We attended the County Board of Supervisors meeting last week. They did adopt the county proposed process of allowing funds, off-highway vehicle funds, to be used for the repair of Patrol 61. So we will be applying for those funds very soon, in the very near future. Those funds will be available to us probably July 1st. We hope, once I'm assured that we're going to be given the funds for that repair, we'll probably go ahead and make the repair ahead of time so we're ready for the busy season coming up, and then we'll be reimbursed through the off-highway vehicle fees. We're moving forward with our office manager, our administrative manager recruitment. We interviewed two candidates about 2 weeks ago. We have sent one on to a medical and a background check. We're in the middle of that right now. Once that comes back, if everything is positive, we'll be making a conditional offer of employment and hopefully have that position filled sometime in December. Cal Fire had a controlled burn at Montana de Oro this Monday. The winds kicked up a little bit more than anticipated. They called for extra help. We did send our brush rig to that. We were out there about 36 hours trying to control that fire. And they are back. They got back this evening. You heard the equipment come back here. They were at Station 66 getting the brush rig back in service and getting that back up and running. And the last thing to report is we're going through an office reconfiguration. We have a need for changing office space around at headquarters, and so we're moving forward with that. Hopefully we'll have that done by sometime in December also. And so if you come in there, it'll look a little bit different than what you might be used to. So looking forward to that. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to address those.
That's the guy, Director Hurdle. Director Angelo?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Director Guerrero, two gentlemen came in late, and I think they're anticipating the talk about the RFP for engineering, but we ended up pulling that from the agenda. So if you guys, want to hang, you're more than can. Posting the agenda 72 hours in advance, and I'm waiting for CSDA legal to get back to me on that. Then the board and myself have a mandatory continuing education on ethics that we need to comply with, and that's Assembly Bill 54. And there's a webinar on November 26th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then there's another offering on December 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. that we all have to log into, and I'll send the link out, and you can do it from home, but you have to complete it, or we will be in violation of that rule. And it addresses conflict of interest with respect to financial transactions and ethics with respect to board operation. So I'll be forwarding that on to you as well, and it's something we can't get away from. The sanitary, I'm surprised Tom didn't say this, but the sanitary, South County Sanitary, is closing their Grover Beach office on Grand, and they're going to have one person next door at 874 Grand, but they will be conducting business out of their new building. So our residents need to be aware of it. We'll post this on the website as well. They bill you directly, but we are responsible for your trash, so we'll have that going. The Oceano is having its annual pancake breakfast on November 18th. The tickets are $5. It's at the depot, and it starts at 8 and runs to 11:30 this Sunday. And I received, we talked about this before at the last meeting, but I received a thank you card addressed to all of us for attending the grid alternative solar panel installation. And so they sent a card and a picture of everybody working. And you just can't help but smile when you pass that. That was such a,
that was a cool event.
Very yeah. good day. And I believe they're going to be coming back. So.
Good.
Ooh, I didn't know about it till before then.
Financially, we are as strong as ever. We have over $1 million in our general fund checking account. We I just got a new statement, so and we had about, what was it, $160,000 come in today. So we're, you know, well over $1.1 million in the bank. We've got our county, we're starting to get the property tax sweeps. So in our county account, we have over $400,000. And the little bit of interest that we get on our little CDs have adding up every month. Our accounts payable today was $124,000. And over the next three board meetings, they'll be about that because we have some fairly large bills coming due. We have a payment to the JPA coming. We have our water bills from the county and the state. So, but the good news is we have more than enough money to accommodate that. We just closed the second billing cycle, and we had one incident that the person was shut off, and they cut the lock. We put another lock on, and they cut it again. So tomorrow I will be getting with the Sheriff's Department. We already talked to the landlord, and he's asked us to proceed because it's an embarrassment to him. But they've essentially been stealing water since July, and they were real cute about it. They hung the lock back on where they cut the lock, so it looked like the lock was still intact when the guys are running through checking it. And so we have it all documented, so that'll be taking place. The other thing I want to stress to the community is we understand that tough things are happening out there, but it doesn't do any good to come tell us on the last day before we're going to lock off, because it creates a big monkey wrench in our system. If you're having problems, we do work out payment plans, and we've worked out several payment plans, and the majority of the community abides by them, and so nobody loses water. There's no heartburn or, you know, attacking the office staff when they come in. So if you're a community member and you're having a tough time, just call the office. We have a system. It works. It works nice. And we follow up because we understand that things happen. And we're willing to work with everybody. But when you come in at the last minute, it really doesn't carry much weight when we've been dealing with it for 2 months. We're in the middle of the audits for 10-11. The trial balance was delivered. If you remember, I stated that the Tyler system was set up incorrectly, and when we did our manual check against the Tyler system on a quarterly basis, we decided to wait till year end for the note that we have. And the only debt that we'll have out there after that payment's made is the money that the county loaned us instead of doing the bond participation. And there are some options that we're going to try and discover on that. The other very, very positive thing is every day we're getting requests for will serve letters. You're going to get six on your schedule tonight. There's a couple more coming through. I want to say just about every other day we have a developer coming in saying, I bought this piece of property. What do I need to do to move forward on it? So that's good because that's more customers, more water usage. In the field, we've been working really hard getting caught up on all the compliance issues. Those of you that have turned the yard, you can see the major headway that we've done in the yard to establish a true water delivery system. The engines that power the wells are all have just about all been revamped except for well 5. The video that I showed you a couple meetings ago on the diving of the tank, I got the formal report on the tanks, and there's some weather stripping that needs to be applied to one of the top of the tanks, which we got that ordered and ready to go. And there's some minor patch jobs where the rust was showing on the exterior of the tank. For the most part, the interior of the tanks are in compliance and structurally fine. The large $1 million tank, we are going to investigate putting in a what they call a duckbill mixing system. Right now, the water comes into the tank. If this was the tank, we have a L-shaped pipe that comes in, and the water goes into the tank. But the tank doesn't mix when you do that because you have hot spots, and it has to do with the thermals of the water. So with this duckbill system, we'll actually come in from the bottom of the tank, and there will be these duckbill valves that once the water is put through. It's similar to you using a handheld gun on your hose to clean your driveway off. And that will create a certain velocity, so we won't have a secondary energy source that needs to do it. It'll just be the pressure of the water, and we'll get significantly better mixing. This was an outflow, no pun intended, of what we have been taking the classes that we've been participating in over the last month, and we're moving forward on that. We have had some incidences where our past has come back to haunt us, and where developers were given the okay to do substandard angle stops where they actually physically made them with plastic pipe and hoses, and those are starting to burst on a regular basis now. So we will the angle stops to be replaced. I will probably come to you with a proposal on how we're going to remedy that, because we gave the approval way back when, but now it's causing significant problems. And we're probably going to have to do a mandatory angle stop change of 60 to 80 customers because of it. And Director Guerrero has seen them. I believe Director Lucy's seen them, some of the stuff that we've gone through. So
I think it was a
week. It's just stuff from the past. Two of our utility operators are up in Tulare now taking the class to so they all three of them tested Saturday on their next level of certification. Uh-huh. And we're the math has become the real critical issue, and so they're getting a revamped study on the math, and one of them called me today and said that they think they have a real good understanding of it. So on this Saturday, all three will be gone, but Kelly will be manning the ship while we're here. We just closed the billing cycle, and I believe we had 10 total lock-offs, and I believe all but 5 of those have been remedied, not counting the one that we're going to pay a visit to tomorrow. And we got a call from California Public Health and said that we were in compliance and to keep taking the tack that we're taking, and he anticipates that we will continue to maintain all our certifications without any issues in the future. And that's all I have, and I'm open for questions.
I just throw in a comment that what you were talking about the plastic and the 90-degree elbows, it was a week ago Sunday. I was driving past the yard, and Casey was here. There had been a blowout,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the morning. And
that's except well 5, and well 5 we only use in emergencies, and that one is that'll be the last one that we take place. We're getting we're going to talk later on about the tank so that we can release wells to atmosphere. I think I explained to you before that before in the past when they were going to release water, they would just let it run down the street. But as Mark was telling you, there's all sorts of rules and regulations now that prohibit that. And so we have a certified well-engineered system to do that. And that tank will allow us to release the water at our schedule so we don't overflow. It'll go in the sewer, and we won't overrun the sanitation district when we release those wells or cause other problems. All the wellheads are now being pre-set up for SCADA systems, so now that there'll be computers, and it'll go to dispatch, and it'll tell us when we have issues. We also have got all three trucks are matched out with the same set of tools, so there's no longer the fire drill, oh, I don't have this, we need to go back to this. And in the meantime, while they're doing all this, they've been able to take care of the customer service calls and do all the other responsibility. Like I said, they're a very excited group of young men ready to go forward, and I'm really proud of their efforts.
Me too. Thank you, Tom. Any other questions for Manager Giesen?
I think Director White had a question.
Yeah, I just wondered if you had that telephone calling system is up that you had cut. We're talking about a month
ago. We have the phone lines in, but we haven't done the deal with dispatch yet, and that's tying in with Grover Beach. And I believe there's one other piece of equipment that's on order that hasn't come in that's limiting to us. Oh, and all the parts to repair the lift station are now in, and they're trying to figure out the best time to do that. So, okay. But, yeah, we're moving along really well in that area.
Thank you, Tom. It is 7:41. Why don't we take a break until 10 minutes of 8. Thanks. Hey, Tony, I didn't know your name. I didn't know your last name.
All right.
We'll recall this meeting back to order. It is 8:52 p.m. Excuse me, 7:52 p.m. I keep wishing, I guess. Moving on to item number 8D, report of Board of Directors and outside committees.
Can I bring
sure,
that
Tom?
One thing back?
Oh, yes.
At the last meeting, the discussion came up about lighting, and you guys, the board asked me to go get that clarified.
Right.
So I went to the county, and the determination by the county is that street lighting is typically at the will of the developer. The subdivision review board, the planning commission, or the supervisors have the ability to request it, and so does a community review board. So in our case, that's the OAC, the Ocean Advisory Council. So when they look at a project, they have the ability to ask. The other group that has the ability to ask or demand it would be public safety, which would be police or fire. And it comes down to if it is clearly a need to promote health and welfare of the community. And then the other big stumbling block is when you do spec lighting, who pays for it? And we have the lighting districts under our purview, which we take care of. But in certain cases, homeowners are responsible, downtown associations responsible. So we have to go through that. As much as neighborhoods would like to be lit, there's a lot of people that move here. So when they walk outside, they can see the stars. And when you have a lot of street lighting, that moves away. So those were the parameters on the with respect to street lighting and street lighting of the developments that we're having going on here. So that's the clarification from the county. And then they reminded me that we asked them the same thing a year ago and got the same answer at the time. But it's up to the will of the developer, mm-hmm. and the community board. Like OAC has the ability to request it, so does the subdivision when they make a subdivision, planning commission, or board of supervisors. And that being said, we can go on to the next deal.
Thank you, Tom.
8DA, Director Angelo.
I don't think I went to anything. I'm trying to think.
Short report.
RAC.
Oh, RAC. That's right. We did go to RAC. Tom, give me some help here. I'm trying to remember what all was
discussed. We had the workshop on...
To follow and try to figure out exactly what they're trying to do. That some of it's a repeat from the times before.
The grants that are available, I believe there's about $7 million of grant money that's available, and there were, I want to say, 18 for the whole county requests for that grant money turned in. And they have a point system that they weight every application on. And during the discussion of the point system, they decided to come up with a committee, and it originally was supposed to be three people from South County, three people from the coastal area, and then three people from North County. And somewhere during the discussion, it got reduced to one person from South County, one person from the coastal area, and one person from the North County. The biggest request was, I believe, the money for the Napomo pipeline. And then there was seven individual grants that we have a stake in, but we weren't the lead agency on. So they were through NCMA, Zone 3, Zone 101A. And so the unfortunate part is another committee is going to decide and put numbers to it. And Director Anderson was right, she volunteered, but they were looking for more of a technical person versus an elected official on that. But by the time that was determined, they'd appointed the gentleman from Napomo to be for South County. So we'll continue to monitor it, and this is phase two, and then there's a subsequent third phase that they're going to weed everything out. Do I think we'll be taken care of? Yes. Do I think will we get a portion of that if the money remains? Yes. If it doesn't, then we'll still go forward. That pretty much summed it up, though.
Thanks, Director Hurley.
Thanks for clarifying that, because I was trying to remember what was discussed. It's like, wait.
On the 30th of October, I attended the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, and we had a presentation from the Homeless Coalition regarding the proposed services facility. Quite a few people, interesting presentation. And I think, all in all, it was a very good meeting. I really think that it's very important to listen to all sides before making a determination, because then we can have make a really informed decision. And I appreciated them coming out and letting us know what it is that they'd like to do here. And there were a lot of people from the community, both for and opposed, and that was good dialogue. And it was very interesting.
It was.
Moving on to item 8DC, that's me. I have two things to report. One is, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it before, but I did it, adopt a park. I adopted the Oceano Memorial Park, which is where the Little Lagoon is. And then by default, nobody has the Oceano Park, so I adopted that as well. Because, truth be told, what happened the first time was I went and I cleaned up the wrong park. And so now they're both mine. I've been going out like one Saturday a month for a little while now. This weekend, EcoSlow came out and checked on what I was doing, because I guess they get some money or something.
Got a complaint?
No complaints yet. But we looked around, and fortunately for me and for the community of Oceano, the park guys, I think it's the Rangers, that go in and they do a fantastic job of taking care of it. Everything's mowed and edged. And I told them, look, this is acres. I've got a 20-inch mower. It would take me days to mow this. That's not going to happen. But we did trash pickup, and we're looking at some other projects like painting the fireplaces, maybe repainting in the bathrooms, some power washing, some redoing picnic tables, some stuff like that.
Okay.
So anyway, it's kind of cool, and I just wanted to announce that. So next time I'm going to go out, if I plan far enough in advance, which is asking a lot, I'll let everybody know, and if anybody wants to come out and pick up trash with me, that's cool.
Yeah.
I also went to the Sanitation District meeting last week. That's kind of big on our agenda tonight. There were a few things that happened. I'll not try to spend too much time on them. One was the adoption of the local hazard mitigation plan. Dave Matthews of the, or Matthew of the Five Cities Fire Authority was charged with it. Grover Beach Sanitation District and Roy Grandy were all signed on to it. That has been finalized and is being presented to the state agency that has to do a final approval. They'll expect to have the final approval sometime back in the summer. Interesting, there was a MPN. The limit, I believe, is supposed to be under 400. So this is going to lead to another notice of violation and possibly a fine. It was a single incident. Again, last month I reported that there was a high fecal coliform count. Mm-hmm. When asked about it, Mr. Wallace advised that the plant was operating fine and they think it was an anomaly. Excuse me, the limit is not 400, it's 200. So we'll be interested to see what happens with that, but that has been reported. Bob Bailurzio did report that. The meeting, which would normally be scheduled for the 21st, has been moved to the 20th, 6 o'clock. Should be here, that's Tuesday the 20th. And that's because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So if anybody wants to come to that, please feel free. Please feel welcome to come. One of the things that is supposed to happen that evening is the review of the district administrator, who is Mr. Wallace, and also the review of the district engineer, who again is Mr. Wallace. And so if anybody would like to weigh in on that, please feel free to come. This is on our agenda a little farther down. For the board's input on that. But I'll turn it over to Karen. Director White.
Yes. I also was at the Oceano Advisory Committee, and I was kind of disappointed there were not more residents of Oceano there. I mean, there was certainly some of Oceano's leaders, but there wasn't as many people as I thought there were. I expected to see some people who might be angry or unhappy about the homeless center, and they really didn't come to the meeting. But I was very pleased and at the information that was provided. And I also was at the Zone 3 Tech, and then I listened very carefully to Mark's report that he gave part of it tonight that he gave yesterday morning to the Board of Supervisors. And I think there's more to hear than we've heard about that, because there's so many good and bad things about the potential for flooding in the beach area again. As they clean out the tules, they move the water faster. If the water moves faster, you can have more potential for flooding or less potential, depending on how the situations go. And the creek that was built for a 100-year storm really only is able to handle, that's a Roy Grandy Creek, a 20-year storm. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of issues. And Carpenter Creek comes clear off of Oak Park. So the water clear from upper Roy Grandy is coming into that creek that goes into Meadow Creek. And so, I mean, they're trying very hard to prepare for the winter. And so, you know, I think they're doing everything they can with all the limits to this government agency stopping them, this government agency stopping them. So I just hope we don't have a lot of rain at one time this winter.
Thank you, Karen. Moving on to item number 9, public comment. I've got Jeff and Kevin here. Jeff, go ahead. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening again, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. First of all, a couple quick comments about the general manager's report regarding the Prop 30 passage and the Brown Act reimbursement. It's important to follow the Brown Act before you get the reimbursement, so I just wanted to make that comment. Also, regarding your $1 million plus general fund checking account balance, a few questions come to mind. One, when are you going to review your capital improvement program and the costs associated with that? It's my belief it's in the couple million dollar range, so if you got $1 million and you need $2 million, that means you're short $1 million. And if you're not, it raises the question of whether or not the water rate increase, the five-year water rate increase, is really necessary. And then lastly, I heard that your GM report that you were $300,000 in the black. Does that mean the contribution to reserves is going to be $300,000? I was a little unclear on that. I wanted to move to the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. You heard a little bit about it from Director White. Unfortunately, it was a very slick PowerPoint. Mark Hutchinson does a good job in presentation. He's a very knowledgeable individual. But at the end of the day, the county is spending a lot of money, hiring a lot of consultants, and all you have to show for it today is Reed Management, the raising of Delta Street, minor grading project, and an evacuation plan. That's what you have today. And unfortunately, an unknown nexus between the HCP itself and the project for which it's being sought. If you look at the one letter to Christine Ferrara from a law firm in Sacramento, it really is interesting. And Mr. President, if I may extend my remarks a little bit.
Sure.
Thank you. It talks about, well, it's my belief that this letter, I won't read it due to the shortage of time, but in effect, the county's management, or Zone 3's management of the creek in 1994 resulted in some of it going dry. They didn't provide enough releases. So there was an enforcement action. And the state agreed to stay the enforcement action if the county went through this HCP process. And I think the history is important to really look at the necessity for it, because it is very costly and it's a long way from completion. Also, real quickly, with regard to Zone 3, I noted their calendar for next calendar year. There's only one meeting here in this building, and I'm not sure if they ever had a meeting this year. They were intending to have one, but canceled it. So I think that's unfortunate. And then I'll wrap up my remarks by referring to your agenda items 10E and 10I, and that's the GEI contract for Northern Cities Management Area Monitoring, and then also this State Water Resources Control Board cessation or reduction of groundwater extractions. And I would simply note that with regard to the GEI contract and this whole NCMA water management situation, you're paying someone to manage your water away. And this is just one more example. You've got Water Systems Consulting, Inc., and you've got GEI, and these folks are not working for you. And I'd urge you to review their contracts and their scope of work. Then lastly, on item 10I, there's what appears to be an annual statement from the State Department of Water, or the State Water Resources Control Board, Division of Water Rights. And this is regarding the groundwater. And unfortunately, there's no staff report or background that talks about the need for this annual statement and perhaps what's been done in the past, because this relates to your district's largest asset, and that's your groundwater. And so I think it's important for your board to understand, again, the past and where this may be taking you. Thanks for the extended time.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Mr. Rice, do you want to?
On my water bottle.
Oh, okay, thank you.
President Geisler, President Guerrero, I'm wondering, I'd be happy to state at the end of the meeting my comments regarding items not on the agenda. If I might have discretion now, we can get out of your hair and carry
it out
now.
Mr. Rice.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I just wanted to appear and let the board know that today the Air Pollution Control District had a very, very heated meeting against state parks, in which they committed a nice fat brownback violation, by the way. I think OCSD needs to be aware of that because of the nature of this community with state parks. A lot of rhetoric was thrown out. Mr. Hill especially calling out Andrew Zilke as being a gun-wielding, wily bureaucrat who comes and basically yanks their chain. They called parks intransigent scofflaws because the Air Pollution District doesn't believe that parks is working with them cooperatively enough towards the issues on the dunes. The Air District, in effect, is upset that parks isn't going along with their phony science. And they're saying they keep trying to bog us down in this science instead of accepting the facts and doing what we say. And it, for some reason, it appears to be, I guess, wrong for parks to question things and have any questions about the APCD. And their APCD board is talking to the Board of Supervisors, which, of course, sit on that board, saying we need to consider pulling the La Grande tract off the table and ending that contract, which would shut down just over a third of the riding area and about half the camping area. That would, of course, greatly affect this community. And I know this board has concerns about the state park and the things that it offers to this community. I'd really like to meet or speak with any number of you people to see if it's not an item that should be on your agenda to weigh in to the Board of Supervisors and to the Air District. I know you and Lori both have my contact information, and Selma and Karen, I'd love to have you contact me. President Guerrero has my email address. And Manager Gieselin, same thing. I'd like to sit down with any of you and put it up to your consideration to perhaps write a letter and weigh into the county. So thank you so very much for your time, and I'm glad to see everybody's getting along tonight.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Did you stay for the whole meeting?
I would if it would be helpful.
No. Did you stay for the whole?
I watched. I viewed it via video.
Okay. So did they come down?
Edwards. I think in reviewing the Brad Snook letter, uh-huh. I would have to probably agree with that, which in essence what he's asked is that you hold off until the politics work themselves out early next year. Mm-hmm. And so I would support that.
December 5th, actually.
I'm sorry?
December 5th, Debbie Peterson advised she was going to take over the seat.
Okay, and I think that's when everything becomes possible. So there's nothing else unless you have a
no,
question.
No.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Kevin. Moving on to item number 10, public hearing of business items 10A, purchase water tank to be in compliance with 2012 new rules and regulations. Tom.
This is our released atmosphere project, and we need to purchase this tank. This has come before you before, but we pulled it. There's a fairly detailed explanation on why we need to do it attached to the staff report, and it's a cost of $7,375. This is under my purchase requirement, but because it's so close to the edge, I wanted to move it to the board.
Anybody
so I need approval to go out and purchase it.
Does anybody have any questions for the manager, Gieselin?
I have none. No.
Karen?
No.
All right. Is there a motion to approve?
I so move.
All right. I've got a motion and a second. Second was from Director Hurdle. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. All right, moving on to items 10CA, October 19th letter from Michael Seitz, South Slo CSD Legal Counsel, requesting Chase Martin, OCSD Legal Counsel, to write a letter using facts where deemed appropriate or upon other facts that have been developed to the State Water Board in support of the appeal. Chase, do you want to take this? You want me to go with it?
Well, it's fairly straightforward. I received this letter from Mr. Seitz, who represents the San Luis Obispo, South County Sanitation Directors, I'm sorry. And he has asked for you all to review it and to weigh it and come to whatever conclusion you feel is appropriate.
Right. Just by way of background, for those who don't know, I was the sole voice who voted against the appeal at the time. And again, my reasons, I can't disclose in open session because they were in closed session. But I'd entertain any discussion if anybody wants to send a letter in support or of the appeal or not. This is the time to decide whether or not to do it.
I say do not.
I say not.
Me too. No.
I think we got...
I mean, you voted, you represented our wishes, I believe, and the community's wishes.
So do we need a motion? I think we're deciding not to send a... I'm in agreement with the ladies.
You do.
Okay.
I mean, if you're making a decision, then you need a motion on it for sure.
Then I make a motion that we not send a letter to the State Water Board in support of the appeal.
Second.
All in I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0 not to send a letter in support of the appeal. Item number 10CB, South Slo CSD Professional Services Contract Review. This was attached in the staff report. And the reason that I asked that this be put on was that the administrator and contractor review is now set for November 20th. As the board representative from the OCSD on that particular board, I wanted the input of my fellow OCSD members and therefore the community at large as to what position, if any, this board should take. Another way, Mr. Wallace and the Wallace Group has been the contract administrators that appear since 1986. As the board is aware, in 2010 there was a significant spill in a water board finding regarding that. The water board finding, as I presented last time, had some areas of negligence that were found on behalf of the administration and the plant operations. Mm-hmm. There has been some outcry from the community. We do have a letter today that came from the Surf Riders Foundation, specifically through Brad Snook. The spill did happen here in Oceano. There is another... I think Tom and I looked at the numbers, and what was it, about $860,000?
Yeah, $860,000, because the contract is written for time and material, where you pay me a monthly salary or an annual salary divided up over the pay periods. Mr. Wallace gets to bill for time and material, and it the total that he's been able to invoice and be paid for was to do that project. But if you're an administrator, why aren't you managing the contract yourself? Now, I understand that that's a business practice for a lot of engineering firms, but the reality of it is, if you have the district at heart, I don't charge extra for things that I do around here. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, my time gets used, as you well know, gets burned very quickly here, and 10, 12, 16-hour days are not uncommon. But at the end, when it's all said and done, I get that paycheck at the end of the week, and there's no adjustments. Now, I'm willing to discuss that later on today. But that's where where the real issue lies. And then the other issue is with the problem that they're having. If you've got the same set of eyes looking at the problem all the time, maybe you don't get that valuable insight that you need. So that's the issue that I would bring forward if I was sitting on that board.
I've always thought that issue of him doing both jobs was it right. You know, it's like getting paid for the same thing twice.
I feel the same way. Being an administrator, actually, in my mind, I don't think that you can do both of them effectively. You have to be one or the other. And I think that at this point it's very apparent that that's a fact. Either you're going to run something and run it well, or you're going to be the engineer that takes care of the needs, because in my opinion, the engineer is taking care of the details, and in order to take care of the details, you have to be fully committed to being an engineer. You know, so it was nice while it lasted. You know, but I think This is...
Well, another key point, too, that nobody's looking at is what were their reserves 5 years ago, and what are their reserves now at the spill? And you had all these problems. Mm-hmm. If you're an administrator, how do you explain to everybody where that money went?
Right.
Why wasn't this taken care of before?
Right. That's what I mean. I think he was wearing too many hats. And I think I'm putting that in.
I mean, the amount of scrutiny that I get around here for what I do.
You're just a bad influence.
Huh?
You're just a bad influence.
Right. I get it all. So, but the reality of it is there's a fiduciary responsibility. And, you know, quite candidly, these questions have been posed ever since you people have been on the board.
That's correct.
And I've been right there with you, right, doing the analysis for you. And it's Oceano, and they just push it away. I've seen Director Angelo get steamrolled. I've seen Director Lucy get steamrolled. And I've seen Director Guerrero get steamrolled when we try and bring up these points. And we, because I think we're a member agency, and I think it, I know it, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our ratepayers to ensure that,
right,
they are getting the best possible service.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say it with any conviction that that has been the case in the,
right,
16 to 18 months that I've been involved.
It's the one thing that people, voters in Oceano, have talked to me about. It's the one thing from day one that I've heard about. And it's why Wallace, you know,
mm-hmm,
and go into lots of, but, and I was surprised at the number of people that was a big issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to be able to have a job where I not only got a good pay, but I hired myself to do the engineering work.
Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Have you guys reviewed the grand jury report? Do you think that has any influence? Have you not, from last year, you didn't look at that?
No, I haven't.
Director Angela, you probably saw that. Do you think that has any influence into the analysis on further administrative review?
Yeah.
And if you recall, it talked about a couple of things, conflict of interest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've always thought that was a problem.
And they suggested an outside audit.
Prior boards for several years thought that was a problem as well, but never could get any motivation with the whole board to do anything about it. So, yeah, it's not right.
There are two contracts that he has. One is the engineering contract, and one is the district administrator contract. The question is: this board suggesting that we throw the baby out with the bathwater, or that we parse it out and do let it
engineer,
mm-hmm,
at the direction of the board, and just like we do it here. So, I think it would have the most impact if and the quickest chance for turnaround is if the administration portion was handled by somebody else and they were given the option to stay on as engineers. But that's not my call. They're a separate entity, and that's a call you as a board member have to make.
Right. That's the direction I'm looking for. Is, you know, do I walk back with the recommendation from my board to status quo, one or the other, or none at all? And I think those are the three options,
mm-hmm,
that I have. And
well, if we look at it this way, if something goes wrong here, everybody's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at the engineer. If our reserves dropped and there wasn't an explanation for it, if we had these certain things going on, it would be the administrator taking a task. That's part of the job description, right?
Mm-hmm.
The buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I personally like Mr. Wallace,
The
reality of it is if you look at it on all the details, how could anybody continue in that situation?
Right.
And conversely, if I did something to the same level, I would expect that there'd be, you've already had incidents where you'd be excused general managers because he didn't fit the mold that you were desiring.
And I think I think one of the things, and I don't know how you, I don't know whether this plays into it, but there are 3 employee lawsuits going. There were only 9 employees, and 3 of them after the 2010 have sued.
Yeah.
With varying degrees of success or lack thereof. But Lori and, I mean, what?
Yeah,
I'm trying to, I mean, it's a good discussion. I'm trying to figure out what the take, what would you guys would suggest that I do when I get there on the Tuesday the 20th.
You know, Mr. Wallace is also an engineer for various other entities. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if Mr. Wallace's firm and Mr. Wallace himself aren't spread too thin. And I would think that somebody else is the administrator for the sewer plant, and his firm is the engineering firm, might work out very successfully. But I think, you know, he's playing against himself, and I think that's a challenge for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with her too.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm thinking is, I like that idea, but I also like the idea of perhaps trying something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, Wallace, they've been around for a long time, and I have to say, since I've been on the board, I've had a lot of questions, and not all of them necessarily answered to the degree that I'd like them to be answered. And particularly after the flooding last year, mm-hmm. and the findings. The findings were in black and white. And I think that there was a lot of negligence. When you read reports that state, they knew that they had equipment that didn't work. And had it budgeted for several years to take care of that, and they didn't. I mean, that's I think if I were you, I would start with nothing as a present, and then maybe work to splitting it if you don't. But I really think it's time to just go our separate ways.
Clean house.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll say out loud is I'm thinking about asking for a bottom-up review. You know, I've only been to the plant one time. Maybe, no, twice. 3 times? I've been on a tour of it once. I think I've been 3 times. I don't know how many times the other board members have been there. I don't deal with the, interact with the employees. Like around here, I do. I'll see Tony or Aaron or Casey or Carol Ann, you know, stop and say hi, mm-hmm. and jawjack with them for a little bit. I have never done that with those particular employees. What if I asked for a bottom-up review from the employees and what they think of the administration and what they think of the engineering services, and use that in doing an evaluation? I mean, I think that's appropriate. And I think Tom and I, if we sat down for 45 minutes on Friday, we could probably come up with
antagonistic or creating.
Well,
it
could, and I don't. It would be something that's not there. I think an evaluation, bottom-up evaluation, mm-hmm. sounds like a very good first step, mm-hmm. and not going straight to the top. I don't know.
These are just ideas been rolling around the coffee can in my head. You know.
Yeah,
I do think that is a good idea. It will give you more information to make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. You know, we already have the factors that we know that are important to us, and if we hear from the employees, you know, we can merge the two and really have a real good foundation for the decision that's made.
And Tom touched on something. You know, we talked about the $860,000. A lot of it was related to the spill. I had asked a while back, once I realized that they were taking the litigation expense for the spill and putting it into operations.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a fair and accurate representation. Bill Nichols was the one who was reviewing all the bills, and he'd come in and say, well, I reviewed the bills, everything's on the up and up, and he would tell us that, and he told us that a couple of times in open session. And then I realized that
this money should have been attributed to litigation. Remember, I voted no on the budget, and that was one of the reasons. I said, no, your budget doesn't accurately represent what we're spending. I should be paying you, according to this budget, $25,000 a month, and I'm paying you $50,000 to $80,000. I just don't understand it, and I voted no because I couldn't get a good explanation. I don't want to say Wallace wouldn't explain it to me, but I didn't get an explanation that I understand. And so what Tom brought up was that if we've spent $860,000, is that the most efficient way to run a business, run a district? And I don't know what other districts are spending, but if we did bring in a full-time general manager and paid him $100,000 or $120,000 a year, we could have somebody there full-time. Mm-hmm. And, I think we'd probably get a lot of good applicants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think you could, too.
And that's just a thought. And so that's what I was looking for. I wanted to have this discussion out loud. Get the input of the rest of the board. The question I have though is we seem to be still discussing out loud whether or not we should throw the baby out with the bathwater or sever the contract and let him have one or the other.
Well, if you're going to start with a bottom up evaluation, I think that would make the decision.
Yeah, it would help.
I mean, it took me,
The problem you may have is with that evaluation with the all three of the members, correct?
No.
Are you just talking about for us?
No. There is an evaluation from the three members. That would be myself, Bill Nichols, and Tony
Farrar.
Right. But no, what I'm asking for is the six remaining employees to do the evaluation. What are the work conditions like?
Okay. Now, is that information will go to all
the
directors, right?
Right.
That might. They may not want to give the information that they will talk to you about in general because of that leaking into being discovered. And sometimes people don't want. They'll tell you things that it's not necessarily.
They'll say off the record what they won't say on the record.
Right. So that's the only. My concern is. Because I know the guys over there, they're under a lot of pressure to keep things moving, and especially after all this.
Okay. They've been getting called in a lot.
Yeah.
After time, Trini's been getting called in a lot.
Yeah. So, and I know Trini's been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pretty aware of situations and stuff too. So he knows what's going on, and he's probably one of the more experienced ones there. And Bob's come on, and I've talked to him with different things, and. Never had any problems, very straightforward. But I just don't want to have them feeling like they may be jeopardizing
their
job by doing an evaluation, too. If you think we can do that without any problem, let's probably start with that.
Right,
as far as that, it's kind of. I think everybody's had enough and seen enough and questioned enough and not got any answers. So I kind of feel like I don't need an evaluation.
Okay.
I just feel like you don't need to have the same person doing two distinctive, important jobs for something like this. This is not just us, it's everybody else, too. And it's our ratepayers, Now we're going to want to increase rates again and... a lot of this could have been prevented.
Is that how you feel that same way, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You already approved it at the sanitation.
I have one question.
Sure.
It lists as an emergency drought.
Which page are you on?
I'm on page one under definitions 2B, emergency. And I was wondering, I can see riot, explosion, volcanic activities, and all the rest of this as an emergency, but drought is usually something that comes on slowly and lasts a while.
No, I think what they mean right there is if our water system is jeopardized because of an earthquake and we can't supply water, that's an emergency drought.
Okay.
So we don't have any water to supply.
Yeah,
and so they would come to our aid and help us with that.
Okay, I understand it better. I just maybe it needs a different term.
See, like, the other thing, too, like, they have disease. So, say, we had a earthquake or a tsunami or something, or similar to spill where we had septic material getting out into the public, they would help us come clean and take forward. So.
Yeah, and I noted that you didn't have to, if it was, you don't have to go if you're asked unless you're in a situation where you can, it seems
right,
like.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a good idea. I'd be happy to support it.
Mutual aid is always a positive thing. Right. Yeah. I'm for it.
Me too. Director Angela?
Yep.
Is there a motion to...
I make a motion that we approve agenda item 10D, Resolution California Water Wastewater Agency Response Network Omnibus Mutual Assistance Agreement.
And I'll second that.
All right. Carolyn, can I get a roll call vote?
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item 10E, GEI contract NCMA monitoring. Tom?
Every year, we, because of the Santa Maria Valley groundwater lawsuit, we have to, per court stipulation, we have to provide reporting of the management of our groundwater basin and our of where we stand with respect to that lawsuit. And Oceano, along with Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo, we have taken the lead, and I've said this before, we have one of the best management systems in place. We can tell what our water quality is, what our depths of our well are, within any 15-minute period. Contrary to somebody from the audience that said this is managing our water away, we have an adjudicated basin. Adjudication is the gold standard. And regardless of what LAFCO is trying to do with some of their insinuations about water and what other people are trying to say, we have an adjudicated basin, and we will manage that basin to the best of our ability, and nobody has the ability to take that water away from us unless Mother Nature takes it away. And we've heard rumblings of that before, but the data hasn't been there to support it. So this contract puts us in line with our other people in the gentleman's agreement, and I'm looking for approval on it so we can sign it and get it off and continue to manage our basin to the proper levels that it needs to be.
I don't have any questions. Does anybody else have any questions?
How much does this cost us?
I knew you were going to ask me that. As council pointed out, the fee went up, but the cost to Oceano went down.
It actually went down by almost $4,000 compared to last year.
Yes.
So.
Maybe because we're better organized?
It's just the way it fell.
Is there any other questions?
No.
All right. Director Angelo Hurdle?
No, I'm okay.
All right. Is there a motion?
I move that we approve agenda item 10E GIE contract NCMA monitoring.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item 10F, County Clerk Recorder Conflict of Interest Filings for 2012 Local Agency Biennial Notice. Is this Tom or is this Chase?
No, it's me.
Okay.
We are required to, every 2 years, to update our Conflict of Interest Code. And we, with all the fun and games that we had going on a couple months ago, this dropped through the cracks. And when I went to check with the county clerk recorder on the ballot initiative and everything to make sure that we had everything done, she reminded me. And there, if you read the document, it says they'd like to get this information back by October 19th. But there's having elections and stuff put in place right around December 13th. So what I'd like you to do is review this, fill out your information and then get it back to me, and then I'll submit it to SDA. It doesn't need a vote or anything, but I just need to know what we're really, really interested in. There's one or two that I'd like to possibly get involved with as well. They don't pay for travel. They don't pay for anything to cover it. It's basically a volunteer, and you know the drill, right? We'd all be billionaires if we didn't volunteer.
I'd be a lot richer.
But we need. I really think that with all the positive things that have happened in this community, that it wouldn't hurt to elevate us up in the associations that we're members of.
This actually did jump out at me as well. A couple of things were interesting to me. Would this be something that we could use board travel money for?
I would have to research that, and I'll turn that over to council, and he can tell me whether
we can worry about that another point.
He's probably good.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's certainly a professional development type of thing for
right.
board members, but it looks like an interesting opportunity.
Yeah,
I think it does as well. This interested me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to volunteer because yeah. last time I did that, it was January of 2011. So. Okay, we'll take that, and if anybody wants to see Tom about that, please do. Moving on to item number 10H, LAFCO, request for nominations for LAFCO special district member.
Gosh,
we did have a nice report on that, Tom.
So on this one, you have a decision. Merle Clift, who is an elected official of Cambria, has been sitting on the LAFCO board, and now he's been reelected. And they're asking for a renomination for him to proceed. The gentleman that was on the LAFCO board from Napomo didn't get reelected, and so I believe his seat is going to come up for a nomination as well. But there's nothing that says that one of you could not be nominated and put forward on this. So we have to get back to them by December 10th. So again, it's for information. Do you want to move forward and have Mr. Cliff there, or would one of you like to attempt to get that seat?
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, it's for information purposes, and we can bring it back on the 28th, and you can decide what you want to do.
I respectfully decline for myself, but if you then if one, what I'll suggest is if somebody else on the board is interested, they can alert Tom, and he can put it back on the agenda. Otherwise, we'll just take it for information.
Well, okay, right, that's fine.
If it doesn't come back on because nobody's interested, then we just won't revisit.
Now, you have been to CSDA local meetings with me, and mm-hmm. Director Angelo has also been with the management ones. And any one of you is welcome to go. But this involves LAFCO, and mm-hmm. I believe Barbara Mann was at one time a
yeah.
OCSD director that also sat on LAFCO.
Yeah.
And there again, it's like, do we want to elevate?
Mm-hmm. I like the idea. I know that there is the seat coming from Napomo, possibly. So
say again?
That there the seat coming from Napomo with Mike
Wynn.
After
that one?
Yeah, maybe we'll go
right.
after that one.
Who?
Mike Wynn's not going to be on
oh,
anymore.
Yeah.
No, he's not on LAFCO. He's on,
not on LAFCO.
I thought
it's
he was
Ed Eby.
Oh, Ed Eby. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Mike Wynn is the
on
elected official from Napomo that's on the RAC.
RAC. I'm sorry.
How long has Mr. Cliff sat on that board?
I didn't hear that, Karen.
How long has Mr. Cliff sat on that board?
I don't have that answer, but I want to say he's probably done at least two terms. I can get that information for you. I'll call
well,
David tomorrow.
It just seems like the same people are there forever.
This is your opportunity.
No.
Moving on to item number 10I, State Water Resources Control Board Cessation or Reduction of Groundwater Extractions, 2011-2012 Annual Statement. Tom, this one did catch
me. Okay, I received this letter from the State Water Control Board, and I immediately called them. Because when I went looking for the information on it, it didn't appear in the files. But what has happened is we have complied with this request since 1994. And I believe past YAR field manager Phil Davis took care of this. It doesn't look like it was answered the year before. And when I called them on it, I said, and so I need some direction on this as to what you would like me to do. If you'd like me to continue to comply and fill it out or write the letter saying we wish to be removed from the program. I've been unable to ascertain if there's any financial impact other than the time to do both. I've been unable to ascertain what this really buys us.
Well, what you're talking about the item I, right?
Right.
I don't have my paper. I must have pulled it apart. It talks about reduction of groundwater extractions. We don't have any reductions that we're going to...
No, we don't.
You know, so I don't...
We manage our water, and I explained to the state water. I said, you already know we get state water, we get zone 3 water, and we have our groundwater, and we've been managing them fairly consistently for almost the last 2 years. So I don't know why we would want to do this.
What did they say back?
Say again?
Did they respond back?
She said, yeah, you could drop out of the program. There's no problem with it.
I suggest
so
the save paper and drop out of the program.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So what's the advantage to being in the program? I
don't. He said because everybody else is doing it, but they're under requirements of conservation because of their population size. Well, we're not.
So why would we be a part of it then?
I can do it either way. I'm a little bit gun-shy of taking initiative on something like this and then have it come back to me saying he never told you about it. So I'm telling you about it.
Okay.
If you want me to use my best judgment, I'll gladly use my best judgment. But I just didn't want any surprises that, well, Mr. Gieselin did this again or, you know, whatever. So.
What's your best judgment?
I say bail out.
My best judgment is I'll answer the questions and send it in.
We
letter.
Can bail out next year. Maybe we'll have more details.
Yeah, any other time.
Okay, I'm with that because I don't know what the ramifications are.
Well, I don't either, but
I find it. I just got left without.
I just, you know, it looks like they're trying to make us document that we're using less water so that we will have less water when later.
That's the concern, right?
Yeah, that's my concern.
But you're also getting in the Friday reports our water usage.
Yeah, no, I mean
on a monthly basis, so we know how much groundwater we're pumping.
No, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the government entity.
Yeah, the State Water Resources Board wants to know everything, but we already send in regular reports. So I'll comply, and then I'll look at it harder next year, and we'll decide what we need to do, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
I vote for that, too.
Yeah, I'll support that.
I don't think we need to vote on that, do we?
Do it to vote?
Well, what would the motion be?
The motion would be to have Tom fill out the paperwork and comply with this letter, I guess.
Yeah, you do need to vote for that.
Okay. Then that was the motion.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to utility will serve items. I think we can take these all at once, can't we?
Yeah. It's all the old Avocado Ranch. Actually, I'm not sure. How close do you live?
I don't know. It's pretty close. You know what? I'll recuse myself for purposes of item 11AA that I might live within 500 feet of one of these projects. It's really close. And I'll turn the handle over to Director Hurdle.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Doesn't look like anything has changed.
Have they met all the
Yes, they have. They've met all the
requirements.
They've met all the requirements. And the original project, if you remember when we talked about this last time, was depending on what lot sold, he was moving permits around.
Mm-hmm.
So Celia prepared a matrix of which we are able to identify every single project.
Good.
And these will be approved, and he will pay his fees, and we will get the projects in. As a matter of fact, he also sold one lot that didn't come forward on this, and it will be on the 28th because they're going to close escrow at the end of the month. So I'm really excited about this because what is this, 2, 4, 6, 8? We're going to have 9 new customers by the when we make the turn for the year. So hey,
that's
excellent.
Now, there was some streetlight issue. It's all been addressed. Okay.
It's all been addressed. Okay. It's not a streetlight; it's a light in a gazebo. Oh. And then when they finish the project, there'll be indirect lighting in the park. There's no stipulation by the homeowners association, and public safety didn't come forward with any.
Moving on to item number 12, closed session. There are 3 items, A, B, and C. Item 12A is public employee performance evaluation, part 1, board of directors evaluation of the general manager. Item B is public employee performance evaluation, part 2, board of directors discussion and evaluation with general manager. Item 12C, closed session, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to government code section 54956.9A, re Stephen Lang staff, re wrongful termination. It is 9:03, and we will adjourn into closed session at this time. Thank you.
Short chair, huh?
All right, we're back in session. It is 11:09 p.m. We return from closed session. There is no reportable action. Move on to item number 13, board member comments.
I have one.
Hit us.
Yes. I have really been enjoying cruising through the neighborhood, the district. I am so pleased a year after the cleanup that everything is still looking so good. I love from the bridge on 4th Street and down through 22nd. Mm-hmm. There are a few areas of concern still, but it's not like it was. And the last few days I've actually been walking through town and the cute little houses and the yards. And I just want to say thank you to the residents for doing such a good job. It looks really good.
Yay.
Any other public comment? Board comment, member comment, Karen?
Yeah, I just need to thank all the people who came out to vote in the election. Not only for me, but for Rick. I thought it was a real good turnout, and I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Karen.
Yeah.
Director Angela?
I don't have anything.
All right. Moving on to item number 14, received written communications. We received a letter from Daryl Burkhart. Again, our position is that the OCSD as an organization is not taking a position on this. However, because I was being criticized, I didn't think it right to exclude it from the packet since we had previously included a letter from another constituent or South County member. So we did include this. It will be attached to the packets. Number 15, late. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have one from Brad Smith.
Oh, yes.
On the subscribers. And then I have one from Jennifer Blackburn on the. Apologize for not being able to come tonight, but expressed some great excitement on the Farmers Market Committee. And the leadership team is well qualified in that.
Okay.
So I'm very proud of that. And then Brad takes a position with Brad Smith.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll attach both of those. Late received, I think that's item 15, right? Late received written communications, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Future agenda items, I'll start with Karen.
I just hope we can get the flooring for this room sometime. It was on the agenda.
You can get what?
The flooring you wanted to purchase. Oh, okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay. Director Angela?
I don't have anything else to discuss.
Are we going to be doing modified schedules for the holidays?
Yeah, we are. Our next meeting is going to be 11/28. There are some things we need to add to the agenda. We need to add the ballot initiative. We what our strategy is going to be on that. Okay. Because it did pass overwhelmingly, but as the council has explained, what really passed. Mm-hmm. So that has to be gone.
And I have no future agenda items at this time. Public comment, there's nobody here. Motion to adjourn.
I so move.
All right, second.
Second.
It is 11, 12 p.m. Good night, everybody.